Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
And my name is Nolan. What's wrong, Kenny?
They're laughing at me because I'm a little bit sick this week and it'll be probably pretty obvious to you guys. So I'll probably try to not do too much talking this week, but sneak my opinion in every now and then.
Well, at least should have given you plenty of time to play our retro game of the week, Scooby-Doo Mystery, for episode 82. But before we get there, what's the worst hairstyle that you've ever had? Think about through your middle school years, your high school years, maybe even elementary when you used sun in your hair and then went out in the sun and it turned out bleach yellow white.
I feel like you were totally that kid.
Definitely did that. Frosted tips and everything. What's the worst hairstyle that you've ever had?
I think bowl cut, I guess.
Weren't you like a little kid for that?
Yeah. Okay, so adolescent and up, I guess the whole emo like sweep over style, you know? But like I've had the same hair for a while. It's gotten a lot longer, but I didn't get a lot of haircuts growing up.
So bowl cut?
Sure, bowl cut.
All right, Kenny.
This was kind of short term, but my family went camping one time and we decided to give me a mohawk because I was getting a haircut before we went camping.
That's a great
idea. You had a mohawk?
And so, yeah, it was like I had short hair in general, but then like the rest of it got shaved off.
Oh, no.
And then after the week of camping, we cut the rest of it so it'd be even so that at like school and stuff I'd look normal. But the problem is we'd been out in the sun camping for the whole week and all of my head had gotten tanned except for one stripe, like one inch stripe right up the middle. And so I came back from camping and had a normal haircut but had a white racing stripe down the middle of my head.
That's awesome because it seems intentional, but you were probably dying on the inside when you got to school.
Yeah, it was not the best look.
You should bring that back.
I think you could pull it off. Worst hairstyle that I had was like freshman year of high school. I thought I was a rock star, so I grew my hair out the longest it's ever been, which is nowhere near your length, Nolan. But it was all down around my ears, and when my hair starts getting longer, it starts...
The flip.
It starts flipping out. Mm-hmm. And so it would do it down near my collar and then out by my ears and would flip out. Man. And it was just so much hair. Honestly, in one word, I would probably describe it as shaggy.
Nope. I knew where this was going when you started talking about haircuts.
Speaking of Shaggy, our retro game of the week features a character named Shaggy and another named Scooby-Doo in the Sega Genesis / Super Nintendo classic.
Wow. No.
Scooby-Doo Mystery.
Overview.
Dustin, that was a good segue, dog. Oh, speaking of dogs, Scooby-Doo.
I'm going to punch both of you in the face.
That's how
we don't
bad
need to use
was.
The word classic.
It was that quality segue.
I'm going to punch Kenny and then myself.
Fight Club.
So Scooby-Doo Mystery, let's talk about it. This game was interesting. There's two versions of the game. And so real quick before we jump in and overview these games, let's talk which ones we played. Because if we ended up playing different versions, I might have one of you give me some input on the version I didn't play. So there's a version that came out for the Super Nintendo and a version that came out for the Sega. Nolan, what did you end up playing?
I played Genesis 3.
And Dustin, you played Super Nintendo?
I actually played Genesis.
Did you really?
I did. I don't know what's getting into me.
I also swapped, assuming that you were going to play Super Nintendo and being mad normally that when there's different ones, that I always choose the worst game with Super Nintendo. And so I also played the Genesis version. So we can just talk about that version of the game this week.
That's
that's probably good. Yeah.
Super Nintendo version is a completely different game from my understanding. There's platforming elements and it's still an adventure game, but works very differently. But the Sega version of the game is a straight up point and click adventure mystery. You're in charge of Shaggy playing as the character with Scooby-Doo at your side. And you've got two mysteries to solve. One at a hotel, the Blake Hotel, if I'm correct.
Yes.
And then one at the Ha Ha Carnival. And you go around with a series of buttons and a pointer on your screen that moves around. And you select your actions and you select items on the screen and you have them interact with each other and try and use the clues and the items that you're given to solve a mystery.
Can we say just from the start, I know we could just reserve this for later, but really there's no need, that point and click adventures are better when you can point and click.
Oh, I would have killed for even this same game, but like made for PC.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have killed, but I would have rathered it. I mean, if you can have a mouse and move so much easier, do a single thing, it takes a good 30 seconds because you've got to click, you've got to move and then choose. Do you want to give, take, push, pull, eat, like talk, and then you've got to choose if you want to use an item, and then you got to choose what you want to use that item with. Half the time
that item needs another item and interacts with, and
yes,
it's just needlessly complex and super unintuitive as an interface.
Yeah. The genre doesn't belong on console at all.
True, at all.
It doesn't. I had the same point trying to play, like, back in the day, trying to play StarCraft when they released it on the 64. Yeah. Like, it terrible. Just felt so wrong. Like, you're not supposed to interact with this kind of game this way.
Right. And I know we're still in the overview, but I just wanted to get that over with.
Yeah.
That like this is a point and click adventure without being able to point and click. You have a controller, right, and it makes the entire game laborious, just to kind of set the tone of what we're going for in this very interesting game.
Gameplay.
So as Kenny mentioned, there are two different levels, two different mysteries to play. You've got Blake's hotel, and then you've got the carnival. Which one did you play first, Nolan?
Blake's hotel, just because I was first.
Kenny,
in line.
You two,
yeah,
the first one.
Yeah, that's the one I'm also most familiar with.
Yeah, it's same here. I actually went through the entirety of Blake's hotel. So kind of just to set the scene, and then Nolan, you can probably take it from here.
Yeah.
It builds up a story as if you're watching a Scooby-Doo episode where the crew is driving on a bus going to someone's uncle's hotel, and they end up at the hotel. They get out there, and the Uncle Blake is missing. He's gone, nowhere to be found. A monster has obviously taken him and is roaming around the hotel. And then you're stuck in you're in a living room with a lot of clickable items and set pieces from a picture on the wall to a fireplace and mantle to a bell, which you'd get the bellhop, different things like that. And you can click on these items and it'll look at them, or you can pick up some of these items. And that's kind of the core mechanic, is that you're going around and finding out which items that you can pick up. And in these games, it's not like you're doing something intuitive or you're being creative. You're literally going around and just trying to pick up every single thing, right? I mean, like that's how you do it until you're able to actually pick it up.
Pretty much.
And then later you try to figure out what you do with these items. So pretty much for the first half hour, you're going to walk from room to room to room. You've got the kitchen, you've got upstairs with the different bedrooms, you've got in a basement. Those are kind of your outs, and then outside. Those are your main starting areas, and you're just walking around picking up item after item after item until you have probably 15 to 20 items.
Yep. And Dustin mentioned it already, but you have no movement other than the cursor is on the screen, and it's slow. It moves slow. It's not like a mouse where you can change the sensitivity of it. It moves slow to something, and you click on it to look at it. But if you want to take something, you have to go down to the bottom, click take, and then go back to click on it. It's the gameplay in general is one of the slowest games I've ever played. I'm not saying that's bad yet, but like you really are just clicking on everything that looks like it could potentially be something. We did play a game that was a point and click that was on PC called,
was it the X-Files game?
No, well, that's another
Atlantis?
One.
Atlantis was point and click for the most part.
No, it's like a horror game, and it's old.
Oh, it's the one where you start upstairs, and yeah, then you slowly is that walk point downstairs.
And click? Sort of. Yeah, you have to like manually sort of fight stuff, and
we've actually played a lot now that you guys listed those. I forgot about those, but which is not okay. But compared to those, it's so slow. It's even slower than those.
Yeah. So we mentioned it earlier, but at the bottom of your screen, you've got 10 different action commands. And then if you click over to the right, you've got your inventory. Those are separate from one another. And so you have to use those mixed with some kind of logic that has to come out of nowhere, because it's not logical. The puzzles... No, Kenny. The puzzles are not lot. Some of them are. Okay,
some of
so
them
you've got
are.
A pot. You've got a pot. You can figure out to put water in it, and then when you find out later in the story that there's a crumpled note that's just been tossed into a fire, you can put two and two together. But for some of the other things, like like shovel to snowman, or there's a few things that are make zero sense. Okay, when you have to make the lighter. When you have to make the lighter to go down into the basement, you have to use like a soda top can and a few other, it's just things
it's like
that do
three
not
random
make sense.
Items that you build basically a flashlight with that you never would have put
Did
together.
You guys do this without a guide? Because
I started.
I got
probably halfway, maybe a little more without a guide. And then I just got hard stuck on one piece.
Yeah, I mean,
and I couldn't figure it out. And if you're missing a key ingredient, you're not moving any farther until
you can't go anywhere.
Yeah,
I mean, we only have a week to play these games, so that's why I usually default to that. But in this case, like, it would have been impossible for me. I would have been wandering around for hours and hours and hours, not being able to find the tiny little piece of paper. I mean,
and they do that on purpose because there's only two mysteries to solve, and so they want you to have a long time to play this game. And the only way they can do that is by seriously make so the mysteries are long. I mean, the mystery really is long. Even with a guide, it's going to take you over an hour.
It's longer than I expected. Yeah,
but without a guide, it's going to take you days and days and like it's gonna take you. In fact,
it wouldn't have been that bad.
I think so.
I'm not saying days
really
of continual playing, but Kenny, there are many things that are not intuitive. There are many things that you're not going to be able to figure out.
At some point, it's just a trial and error, and if you're at one of them that's an important one, you're definitely going to be stuck until you just happen to try the right thing.
But do you know how long it takes to go through trial and error? In this game, it takes so long.
I did quite a bit
of trial and error.
Oh, again, because the interface is so slow and clunky and moving from room to room, it's tough.
Now, gameplay. Let's talk about some of the things that we enjoyed. Okay, so think about it. One of the things that I did enjoy is that it's got that same Scooby-Doo humor, and it does that Scooby-Doo humor well. So upstairs, you've got six doors, three on the left, three on the right, and then one down the middle. And when you run... It's got the classic chase scene. So when you run in one, I was laughing. When you run in one, you'll come out another, or you'll come up from upstairs, or two Scooby-Doos will run into each other as they're trying to escape them, fleeing the monster. And then you eventually, if you do the order right, which you'll never know the order unless you look it up in a guide, you'll come out of the door that you're trying to unlock. And then you can go back into that door. So like, it's just a series of chase scenes that are very Scooby-Doo-esque. And that kind of humor is found a few times throughout the dialogue and throughout a few of the animations that made it enjoyable in certain seasons.
Yeah, it definitely felt like Scooby-Doo. You know, you were getting what you expected in terms of characters. And there were some things about the way they talked that felt a little artificial. Seeing like Scooby's voice in text format was really annoying. You know, and some of Shaggy's mannerisms, you know, that like just don't look as good as they sound spoken, kind of frustrated me. There were some other silly kind of things, just like spelling errors and stuff that really kind of took away from the dialogue for me. But in general, it felt very Scooby-Doo. They did a good job, I think, of keeping the tone.
I want to say again, you're playing as Shaggy the whole time. What did you guys think of that? I expected to be able to play, or maybe not play as, but with the team more. Usually Shaggy and Scooby are separated from the rest. I understand that, but I don't know. They were just like, hey, we're going to go over here and check out this spot the entire episode, if you want to call it that. And then it's just you and Scooby. Did you guys feel like you wanted to play as Scooby or someone else? Or
functionally, that's the best way to do it, I think. I the only reason you would change characters in my mind is if like your characters had different skills, and if you had to like somehow swap out people so that their interactions could also affect how your story was going, it would be even more stuff to manage and just miserable.
Yeah, but the dialogue, I guess, is kind of what bugged me. I was just tired of hearing Shaggy interact with everything, I guess. I don't know.
I think with a party that large, it just gets funky of how you're going to like build up the game. And I mean, it would be a lot of fun if each of the individual party members had a scene thinking maybe even different like clue seeking abilities to help you solve some of these problems.
Could be fun. Or if you could even talk to them and they could give you hints if you were stuck somewhere, playing this game pre-internet, like you get to a point where you're just straight up stuck.
Yeah.
And having an option would be great.
I was just thinking that the team would split up, and I don't know, once you like solved up to a certain point with Shaggy, it would like go to Fred and Velma or Daphne or something, and then each one would have their own little segment of the mystery. I think that would have been a better way to set it up. But at the end of the day, it's still going to be a point and click. And so, I don't know. It probably wouldn't have made that big of a difference.
So that's Uncle Blake's Hotel, where you do a series of things that you would for the most part be unaware of. And if you do something... if you fail to do something and get further in the game, but then fail to grab one item or combine one item, you're going to have to go all the way back to hopefully find that item at a later time. Like I did that.
Oh, I did that a number of times.
I did that. I did that even after I was using the guide. I skipped a line or something and it was down near the end where you had to go through a maze one way. And thankfully they had it where when you come back through the maze in future times, you don't have to do it again. It just says the maze was easier that time and it puts you out on the other side. But that's Uncle Blake's Hotel.
Oh, and spoiler, do we want to say who the ghost was?
Sure. I mean, it's not like anybody's going to play this game.
It was the gardener. There's only two people there, and it was the gardener and the cook.
It was,
and
like, it's so obvious that it was the gardener from like the fourth line of dialogue. I literally had a moment where I was like, well, I'm about to find out it's the gardener.
And they didn't even try to make it seem like it was Uncle Blake, or they just, I don't know. It was the gardener.
They could have definitely... Like, real Scooby-Doo shows, I haven't watched one in a long time, but I felt like, for the most part, you don't really know. Like, you don't have the clues to be able to put it together.
They usually do a pretty good job.
Yeah. It's not like it's Clue or Cluedo or anything like that, but like I said, that's Uncle Blake's Hotel. Did any of you... did you spend much time in Ha Ha Carnival? Did you watch something? Can you at least tell us a little bit of... Is it the same? Is it different? What's the story there?
Ha Ha Carnival is the same thing. It's just way longer. So the setup, they're going on a little vacation to Ha Ha Carnival. And oh no one's there. It's shut down and it's super creepy. And there's this like clown that is sabotaging the carnival. And... you and Scooby go through and find tons of items and try to put two and two together. It's just like twice as long as Blake's Hotel for me, which I didn't get through this one all the way.
I mean, they're super long. That would have been a lot of commitment this week to be able to do all of that.
Right. I had the guide in front of me. I honestly, guys, I was just like, I can't finish this. I can't do it. Because it was the same thing.
Absolutely.
But I guess it's kind of cool in a game like this, based on a TV series where every episode is set up the exact same, where they gave you some variety, I guess. There's two episodes to play. So I guess it's better than buying this game, which I don't know how much this would have cost, and then beating Blake's Hotel and then the game's over and you can't really play it again because you know everything.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, having two different episodes works. One other thing that I felt like worked, or at least was something good, is that Scooby is moving around manically around the stage the entire time, and he's sniffing at or pointing at or licking things that you might want to take a look at. And so that's somewhat helpful if you find yourself completely lost, but I still didn't find it helpful enough. Like, Scooby, you can speak English, use your words, and please just tell me what you're finding. Like, yeah. Scooby talks.
Yeah,
right?
He does.
Yeah.
All the time.
Rut-row.
Aged. Both of you watch Scooby-Doo, yes?
A little bit.
Yeah, I was never a lot.
I watched it a lot. I did. And
still do.
Is it still running? It's not. There's no way. I think it was discontinued before I was even born, and I was just watching reruns. Playing this game this week gave me a little throwback to the show. I'll admit that they set it up nicely. You're driving up to the scene. All of you are in the van chatting about, oh, I'm excited for this, or talking about pizza. Scooby-Doo's talking about pizza or treats. And so they did that. The setup was nice. Everything was fine. Graphics weren't good. But and this was the Genesis, so I had some high expectations. But anyways, everything was fine up until the gameplay starts. So, like, on the atmosphere, I think they get a pass from me. At least making me feel a little bit like the show, which I guess is always the point with games that are based on.
Oh, that's shows. Massive when you're trying to, you know, modify from source material. That's part of the reason that, like, Lion King was such an amazing game, is it, like, nailed the tone, you know?
Yeah. Lion King did so many things well, but where Lion King succeeded, I would say that Scooby-Doo Mystery failed, and that was that although they had the feel and they had some of the themes of the Scooby-Doo show displayed fairly well here in this video game, it's the mechanics and it's the slow interface and the monotony of trying to do even one thing and the little to no clarity in puzzles that makes this game not age well at all. Like, you can have some of those feelings, but if it doesn't compute, like if you're unable to actually do them successfully, then I feel like then it drags the age down completely.
Yeah, I generally agree. I'm glad that you guys are pointing out that, like, interface kinds of things were your issue with this point and click game, because there were moments where once I got over navigating and how slow it was and was at least in the rhythm of that the point and click adventure piece of this I actually really enjoyed. Now, that's not always everyone's favorite genre. Yes, in this case the puzzles had some places where they weren't intuitive at all and, you know, could have done it better, but solving these little mini puzzles was actually kind of really fun for me. We recently, like in real life, took some of our friends and did one of those escape room events.
Yeah.
I did too.
Weird.
Wait, were y'all in the
which
same
was a,
for the first time ever? Yeah, for the I first did time it ever. 2 weeks ago.
Me too, a week ago.
Wait. Y'all are in
I know,
the same
our
part.
Lives just line up. and I actually had a really, really good time. I wasn't expecting to.
Me too.
It was
this
weird.
This is a mystery.
And some of the
was
like.
Yours, what was yours themed?
It was.
Good idea.
It was
on
called
three.
The Cabin. The
Cabin.
No, yours was not. You're Cabin. Wrong.
Mine was a mob themed, but it was so good.
That's it, anyway, like, it's crazy, and
no,
we had a good time.
It was
time.
Good, Kenny.
I know. Ours was really good, too. Did you guys escape?
Yeah, mine was better.
No, it wasn't.
Did you escape?
I don't know.
Go ahead.
It probably was.
Go ahead. Mine was better. Yes, we escaped, and we got the record for the month for our room by 11 seconds. Thank you very much.
Nice. I fell asleep by the time that sentence was over.
But, like, the elements of what makes an escape room fun are kind of what make a game like this enjoyable. Like, you're finding random things and having to make them interact and figure out how they go together and being creative and looking at the things that you're given and finding solutions. And so, like, there were moments that I actually, in the middle of this gameplay, was actually having fun. And so on that front, it didn't age poorly. But you guys are right. The interface was terrible. There were some graphical things. Some of the music was okay, but there were moments that it really was repetitive and a little annoying. The walk animation, though I get that they were trying to, like,
oh gosh,
feel, again, like the show, looked just so obnoxious. There were a lot of things that were just hurdles to getting into that adventure and getting to just play it that really, really brought it down.
The final shell shock.
Which brings us to the question that we are faced with at the end of each and every single one of our episodes, and that is, do you give this game your vote for New Game Plus status? This is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Do we suggest that our viewers find a copy and play this game, or pass and play a different game? It requires 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Nolan, how about we give you the honors and you go first this week? Do you give Scooby-Doo Mystery your vote for New Game Plus status?
I have an issue with point and click as a genre. I think I always will. And you know, that genre started right at the time, but like, it's never going to age for me well. And I think what it evolved into is so much better. I always use this as an example, but Amnesia: The Dark Descent is a PC game that it's a horror game. It's like a jump scare game, but it has a point and click feel to it, and where you find items and have to use them in different places. I love that. That's a first person game, though. I'm a stupid millennial, so maybe I'm just not like, maybe I just don't like these old games. Anyways, this just didn't work. Like, if you're gonna make a Scooby-Doo game, make it a platformer. Kenny, did you say that the Super Nintendo version is a platformer?
I know it at least has platforming elements. I don't think it's like a pure platformer.
It's still like puzzles, and you're still having to find items, and Scooby helps sniff them out. You're still Shaggy and Scooby, but it is more platform-ish rather than point and click.
See, just make it all platform. It would make more sense. Like, you're Scooby-Doo and you're platforming. It doesn't have to be exactly... You know, they tried to make it like an episode, didn't work. No New Game Plus for me.
I like that they at least went for an actual adventure and made you solve clues. I don't know if their implementation was great, but I respect the decision to try.
So, what do you give it, Kenny?
Oh, it was Nolan talking.
I was done.
I know,
sir.
And he finished it right before you started. So,
oh,
I thought I just listening ears.
I thought I just hijacked him and was sending it back. even though like. I had moments that were fun. I'm not Nolan. I can get into this genre. And you know, there were some times that I was like, hey, I'm enjoying this game. Overall, the interface just kills it. Way too slow, annoying to navigate. You know, if you progress too far and have to go completely back, just getting through all of that is real frustrating. And then lots of little things that, though they did okay, could have been a lot better. Music and animations and things. I thought this was a great attempt. I like what they tried to do with it. I feel like they just missed the mark a little bit, and that it was on the wrong platform. On the PC, and with, you know, 15% buffing and improving, I think this would actually be a really, really fun game for me to play. But it wasn't, because those things were such a big deal. So no New Game Plus from me either.
I think that is a very fair assessment. That's two no's. And for the sake of uniformity, I too will give my no. And this game does not get our vote for New Game Plus status. Completely agree with what you're saying, Kenny. Like, I feel like some good elements. I think you transfer this to the computer. I think 15% buffing on some of the different interface decisions and game decisions, and you've got a fun game for kids. In fact, I think you take this genre, they could have made it a computer game for kids, you know, in the early 2000s, even mid 2000s, whatever, and this would be a good learning adventure for kids and start them in video gaming for, you know, on computers. Like, this would have been a great idea.
Absolutely.
So that's what I'm going to do with my time travel device. I'm going to go back into the early 2000s and develop this game.
Yeah. Fix Scooby-Doo Mystery.
Someone else will kill Hitler.
Oh my gosh.
We'd love for you on a regular basis to send in your thoughts, your commentary on the retro game of the week. It's no surprise that we didn't have any do that this week, but you can always email us at ngppodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to read your thoughts live on our episode. We did, however, get a new patron this week.
What?
Tom Tate began pledging and joining us through patreon.com to support us and what we do. And Tom, we greatly, greatly appreciate your support. And we promise to use that well for the production of our podcast and the betterment of what you hear through your ear holes on a weekly basis.
Really for the betterment of humanity. If you want to look at the big picture.
It will help us get our time machine faster.
Right.
Thanks so much, Tom. Seriously.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you to every other patron that supports us. You can visit patreon.com/NGP podcast for more information. Maybe you can look into joining us as well. We are getting really close to our next kind of landmark numerical value to where I think our promise is that we will then produce an additional podcast episode every month. So,
yikes.
That's,
what were you thinking?
That's a lot. Kenny's trying to back out right now. I can tell by his eyes. But
he's got to go in there and change it.
Think through what that'll mean logistically, but we can figure it out.
He's like, Bell, we'll change it now. No, but thank you for all of you that support us. If you would like more information, once again, that's patreon.com/NGP podcast. We are not going to randomly select a new game this week. We typically do at this point of the episode. We spin randomizer, and from our retro master list, a game is selected, and we play that for the next 7 days.
No hype. We have no hype. Nothing to get excited about this
week. We've got some. Because?
Because next week we are having our next guest. He is known by his YouTube name, SNES Drunk, or Super Nintendo Drunk, SNES Drunk. And the game that he chose for us to play is a game that is dear to his heart. And next week, we will find out why. It is Mega Man X.
Oh, my gosh.
Interesting.
That is hype, Kenny. You better watch it.
It is the second Mega Man game of New Game Plus. Yes. And we played Mega Man 2. And now we are going to be playing Mega Man X, where they kind of reinvent the series. And
takes a little turn.
I haven't played them as much, and so I'll find out if this is an informed opinion better this week. But my brain is telling me that the numbered Mega Man series, the typical Mega Man games, are significantly better than the X series.
Now and, listen,
I know not everyone's going to agree. We might have some contention next week, but I mean, it's a Mega Man game. I don't think it's going to be, like, terrible. But I'm not as hyped for it as I would be if we were playing, like, 3.
You will change your mind, I promise.
Mega Man X was always the game, that kind of series that caught my attention. X, X2, X3, because the graphics were just a phenomenal upgrade. You've got that, I don't even remember his name right now, don't crucify me, but that other Zero, who is just a really cool looking Mega Man character in addition to the series, and some other things that just make it really cool. So we're gonna see next week. We'll be able to talk all about Mega Man X with our friend SNES Drunk. Until then, we'd love for you to connect with us on a regular basis. One of those ways to do that is Discord. Nolan?
Yeah, Discord is a really simple chat program. It's IRC, I guess, and yeah, we all hang out in there, our viewers, our patrons, our producers. We just chill. We have a lot of different rooms and channels in there, so you can just talk about whatever game you're playing outside of the retro game of the week, make game suggestions. It's just a really cool place to hang out, so you can find an invite to our private Discord and come in there and hang out with us. We're in there through the week, or Dustin and I are, and we'd like to talk to you and connect with you that way.
And Nolan, you did mention producers. We've been having some kind of behind-the-scenes secret conversations with them recently over the last few days. We've got some exciting things planned, and it's just around the corner. We're really just kind of tightening up some loose ends so that we can share some news and some new things with you guys. We're really excited about that, but stay tuned for more information about that. In the meantime, you can find us on social media, Facebook and Twitter at NGP Podcast. You can listen directly on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Music, or any other podcast provider. Make sure you subscribe so you are the first to get new NGP episodes. Patreon.com/NGP Podcast. As I mentioned earlier, special thanks to our producers that we've talked about, Bradley and Zion. You know, guys, that we love and appreciate who you are and what you do. Join us next week as we connect with SNES Drunk, S-N-E-S Drunk, playing Mega Man X. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm still pretty sick.
And I'm Nolan.
You're sick. And this has been New Game Plus.